This is Shambhala-san, editor of web publications Rod Meets Sperry, and you're listening to Shambhala-san Audio. In this second installment of my interview with Carolyn Rose Gimian about editing and preserving the teachings of Chögyam Trungpa Rinpoche, Carolyn tells us how many future books by Rinpoche we might expect. It's an astounding number. And explains what it takes for someone to serve a Dharma community in the way that she does. Is there much material that is still waiting to be released in book form by Rinpoche?
Oh, yeah. Amazingly. I mean...
How much?
Well, right now I'm actually working with Chögyam Trungpa's family and also with Shambhala Publications to look at that and try and answer that question. And we think, conservatively, that there are probably 35 to 40 books based on unpublished and largely unedited material in his oral lectures that we have in the Shambhala archives. So it's probably more work than we'll get done in the lifetime of any of the editors who were initially trained by him.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's a lot. And also there's a really important project, which he wanted done during his lifetime, but it wasn't accomplished, which is to take the most, I suppose you could say, philosophical or scholarly material that he taught at advanced seminaries for his students and create volumes of teachings based on that that will, I think, add a lot to people's understanding of Buddhism in the West and also understanding of what he actually was doing.
How big of a project is this, really? How many works?
Scholarly work I'm describing?
Yes.
Well, the main editor for that is Judy Leaf, who I mentioned before, and she is taking 400 talks that he gave at 13 years of seminaries and creating three volumes of advanced teachings to be published by Shambhala Publications in 2012. Which is the 25th anniversary of Rinpoche's death, his parinirvana. I'm going to work with her on, maybe 50 of those, the last 50, next year. I just spent a week working with her to see what her methodology is and also so she could see how I work so that we could determine whether it would be a good fit and whether it would be useful to her, because she's under, I think, a tremendous amount of pressure in some ways, because we really want to have this out for the 25th anniversary, and it's a huge amount of material. I said to her today, I had a meeting with her, that it was like editing the Oxford English Dictionary in 4 years or something. And she said, don't talk like that. You know? So he was prolific. And because there is so much material, none of which I think is trivial, it's going to be very important to try and train some editors to do this work in the future. And that's going to be a really interesting challenge, to find people who have a connection now.
Is there any particular course of action that you might recommend for someone who's involved with either the Shambhala community or some other Dharma community and would like to serve them in a way that's similar to the way you've served the Shambhala community?
Well, I think that many of the Dharma teachers in North America that I'm familiar with now, they're very aware of the importance of the editing and publishing of Dharma, and it's a really wonderful experience if a person has the right bent to be involved in that. I think most teachers look for and find people who they feel have the kind of basic interest and ability, and you know, there's no better training than to work directly with a living teacher. I certainly think now that there's so much Dharma available in North America. Just studying it, reading it is the beginning of the training.
Folks like yourself and Judy Leaf, when you're playing the kind of role that you are, you're living as much as one can within someone else's words. And even though Rinpoche is not here now, I'm wondering what kind of experiences you might have as somebody living in those words today.
Well, I think anybody who's an editor has this experience that you are trying to hear and incorporate the voice of the person whose work you're editing. In a sense, you're trying to get as far into them as you can so that your work is responsive rather than laying too much on to what they said or wrote. I find with Trungpa Rinpoche that it's an incredible gift to be able to spend the time that I do listening to him teaching and reading what he taught and studying it so that I can shape it appropriately to be able to communicate to others. I try to mix the editorial work that I do with a fair amount of meditation practice. I do a lot of it in a kind of semi-retreat situation, and I find that at times it's really like being with him. And I find that there are many teachings that I attended or received during his lifetime that when I now am editing them, I realize I barely heard what he had to say. Or what I heard then was very different than what I hear and understand now as I read things in depth and try to grapple with them.
So the work you do is truly a Dharma gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. I'm pretty happy to do it.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Carolyn.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say that, you know, it's wonderful that a publication like the Shambhala Sun exists to be able to present some of this material to others. I think that's another gift.
We thank you for being a part of it.
Happy to be so.
That was Carolyn Rose Gimian talking about her role as a caretaker of the written legacy of the late Chögyam Trungpa Rinpoche. Facing Yourself, a Trungpa teaching edited by Carolyn, can be found in our November 2009 issue, and in Smile at Fear, a new book coming out this month from Shambhala Publications. For more on Chögyam Trungpa, see our new issue, or the special page of his teachings we've collected. You'll find a link to this on our current issue page. This is Rod Mead Sperry. Thanks for listening to Shambhala Sun Audio.